My guest today, Jerry Salley. Jerry has released the new album, Bridges and Backroads. We're going to talk about that. He's going to introduce several songs for you. The first that we will get into from that album will be A Life to My Days. That'll get us right into a discussion with very, very talented Jerry Salley. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a new recording of Life to My Days, performed by and recorded by my guest today, Jerry Salley, who's one of my favorite producers, record label owners, singer-songwriters, and all of bluegrass music. Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Listen, it's been too long since we've chatted. The last time was... We talked about a couple of things, Front Porch Philosophy, which is a great record. And also at the time, you were just getting into this Billy Blue Records and stuff like that. And it was just starting to grab a little bit of traction. Well, now your new album, Bridges and Backroads, which is what Life to My Days is on. Mm-hmm. And that's just the beginning. Every day I will tell people listening on this side of the microphone, day in, weekly, I get new releases from Jerry Salley and his group. And it's more and more artists that we know and that we introduce to the listeners, and there's just more and more coming out all the time. So I want to say congratulations on the great growth with the record label.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's been quite a journey. We're not quite 3 years old yet, but I just feel like, of course, like every record label head does, I guess, I feel like I have the best roster in bluegrass. And we were able to sign the legendary Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver, and of course we've had Joe Mullins, and we Barry Abernathy and Darryl Webb came to us. They were our very first acts when they formed the new group Appalachian Roadshow with Jimmy Van Cleve, and we were able to kick off that band's career in that new form. Of course, Barry and Darryl, Jimmy been around forever. And
yeah, right.
Jimmy and Barry and Mountain Home so many years, but. But they kicked our label off with their first album, and we signed Joe Mullins and Radio Ramblers and Donnie Lissy and Doyle Lawson, and we've got Carolina Blue and Alan Bybee and Grasstown. So we've just really been blessed.
It's a great roster.
When I started, I did dream, I guess, of this, but I didn't imagine it was going to happen this quickly that we could put this kind of roster together. But thanks to folks like you and all the great folks at Bluegrass Radio, we've been able to really make an impact, I think, to be so young.
All of those great names, and then I really enjoy Carolina Blue. All the other names are instant legends that everybody knows of, and Carolina Blue, I think, is, boy, they're such a solid group.
Mm-hmm, they are. They're just one of my favorite. And they had a song out called Rusty Rails. You probably remember that. And that's really the song that caught my attention. I'd known Bobby Powell and Timmy Jones for a while, but I didn't know them well, and I'd just seen them out at festivals and stuff, but never really paid much attention to them until I heard that record on radio, and that's what made me interested in maybe working with them at some point if we could.
Well, that's a good deal for both of you. Listen, the new album, then, Bridges and Backroads, and we just listened to a song that may be familiar to the listeners, Life to My Days. We started with that song. We're gonna highlight a few other songs before we're finished. We'll talk about the entire record as it develops. But Life to My Days, I ask artists to pick three tunes that we can kind of use as guideposts as we go through this discussion about the latest record. So I will ask you, you picked Life to My Days, and tell us a little bit about it and maybe why you chose that one.
Well, it's a song that means a lot to me. And when we finished writing it, I wrote it with a couple of buddies of mine, Lee Black and Devin McGlamory. Devin is in a Southern gospel group and performs with them all the time, but he's a great songwriter, and he wants to branch out and write more than just gospel. So we got together one day, and I can't, I really don't even remember whose idea it was, but I loved it. And all I remember is when we finished the song, Doyle Lawson was the first guy to come to my mind, because the song is about, obviously, you know, making the most of every day.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, Doyle is still out there. He'll soon be 77 in April.
Wow.
And he's still out there doing the almost 200, you know, he didn't last year because of COVID, but he was averaging, you know, 150, 200.
Easily.
So I thought of him, and I thought, boy, if there's one guy that has lived this song, it's Doyle Lawson. So I pitched it to him first, and luckily he loved it, and he recorded a great record on it and had a number one bluegrass record on it. And because it's one of my favorite songs, I've been singing it out live at all my shows ever since I wrote it. And once it became a hit, and I just kept getting these requests at my shows. Do you have that on CD? Do you have that on CD? Because I do a lot of bluegrass stuff, but I also do a lot of songwriter shows, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go ahead and record a version of it myself to have to sell at my shows, you know. So that's how I came to record it. I kind of wanted to record a version that's more closely resembles the way we wrote it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, it does. It's a perfect sentiment, too, is I think. And as I do this show through the whole COVID time, which is now extended beyond a year, I've told you earlier, the other day I had Larry Cordell on, who I just mm-hmm. am absolutely a huge fan of everything he does, and I know you're very close. And we mm-hmm. talked about the fact that February a year ago was his last real performance out. So you have this now, we're looking at like 12 months of not getting out. So now I think adding life to your days gets even more critical because we're kind of losing time out with people.
That's a great point. That is a great point to make because it has been a, you know, if nothing else through this past year, we've all got an opportunity to reflect on a lot of things. And I just hope that, hope and pray all of my fans and listeners and all of us get the chance to just keep going and keep putting as much every single day into it and don't take anything for granted.
Well, you can't. You got to treasure every second, and I hope that we get through it. And people are getting injections. I have one coming up soon, and hopefully I can get to the point where I feel comfortable out knocking around. But it won't mean that everybody else is. But I do think when I heard the song again, I thought it's so perfect for now, and maybe that's just the way we look at things now with COVID. Maybe we reexamine those things.
Attitudes have changed, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I really do. And it leads me to another tune on the album, Without Forgiveness. I almost feel like those two things, the forgiving and putting more life into your days and making sure that you, those two things I think are particular, those songs. I'm glad you picked life to your days, but I think I had those two songs as kind of penciled as being particularly relevant to now.
Well, thank you. Without Forgiveness is a fairly new gospel song that I've written, and it never has really been recorded by anyone. You know, I had a little custom cut on it when I first wrote it, but I just kind of wanted to get it out there. That's another one that I do in a lot of my shows, especially the church programs I do, and we have a particular friend, Aaron and I, my wife and I, that just has told us a million times she thinks I should record that song. So this whole album actually is an album of songs that some of them are fairly new. There's three or four of them that are real new, but the large majority of these songs on this album are songs that I've written over the years that I always thought should have been recorded but haven't been. And that's really where this whole concept for this record came from, was I was going back through my old catalog and some songs that, for instance, the first single off this album was a song called Let Me Be the Bridge.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote that song with Jim Rushing, the first song Jim and I ever wrote back in 1992.
Wow.
And Ricky's had it on hold. Just a lot of big country artists had it on hold, which is songwriting slang for if they think they might want to record your song, they'll ask you to hold the song. But I've played that song before with my little trio with Carl and Larry, Carl Jackson, Larry Cordell, mm-hmm. and we've had standing ovations. And I still couldn't get anybody else to record it. So I finally, 30 years later, I finally recorded the song. And so that's the kind of songs that I was researching and going back through my catalog, trying to figure out what songs do I think should have been recorded or been hits by now that never were. And now they're too, that song was written as a country song really back in the day. So to me, bluegrass is today's country music because country music has changed so much.
I think you're right.
So I just decided to go back and dig deep into my catalog and come up with some songs that I've always loved that I thought should have been recorded.
Well, that's a good one. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Jerry Salley. Jerry, it's been a while since Jerry's been a guest, but we have all these great opportunities, and now we're talking about the brand new as far as the discussion goes, Bridges and Backroads, which is on Billy Blue. And so Jerry's been kind of giving us a run through of how these songs came back to his attention. And they're all great songs. I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about I Take the Back Roads. And let's hold off on that for a minute. That song particularly struck me, and I know we're going to talk about that later into the program. But you have a beautiful waltz on here with Rhonda Vincent sharing vocal with you, and there's so many great songs in here that are kind of jerkers. There are you know, the Hillbilly Lily is just a great fun song. You know it is, and I love. I'm glad you include all those type of songs and yeah.
I was afraid I was going to get in trouble for that.
No.
I really love it. It's just too fun.
It's a lot of fun. You got to have fun. But you have a lot of songs. I mean, just like the one we're going to do, if I can use a radio term, which I don't use, you can't hear a heartbreak. You have other songs on here about that really touch in that lonely period and that broken heart kind of theme. And by the way, for the listener who was not aware of who Jerry is, Jerry's written songs for a long, long time, and he could week us to this hour talking about the songs that Jerry has written by people that may not grace these airwaves, but they just go on and on. When he mentions, I have a trio with Larry Cordell and Carl Jackson. Jerry and those two, prolific songwriters who record their own music, and I hold such high regard for all three of those gentlemen, including you, but so many great songs. I mean, I would invite people to maybe look Jerry up a bit and just realize the serious depth of the songwriting that he's been doing. And so he's telling us now that he's kind of gone back through his catalog, gathered some of those songs. You heard him mention the term On Hold. So some of them are kind of being revisited. And it's a great title to the album. And it's really nice. It's nice. And Jerry, I don't think I've told you this before on the air. I really enjoy your song. We talked about your playing. We talked about the musicianship. We made fun of the fact that you can't hit a G run like Carl Jackson, which is just a great song. So, but you know, I know you can play, and I know you surround yourself with great musicians. But this is really a nice album to come back and make a stay. When did you start putting this together, by the way?
Oh, geez, I actually started recording this record, the new stuff. It was in December of. Let's see, we're 21. December of 2019, I started recording. And luckily, I had already recorded all the tracks before they shut everything down. So I had everything recorded track-wise by the end of February last year. And then I spent, I didn't get to go in and start doing vocals till about May or June here in Tennessee. But the album, I take that back. I had done vocals on a couple of things because I put Let Me Be the Bridge out in May before the album came out. But it was about a 6 or 7, 8 month journey to get everything recorded, mixed, and mastered and get it out.
Now, I figure with COVID that the getting together part is difficult. And I know that a lot of things are done from, people can send you parts, people can email you parts and backup parts. But with COVID being intervening in there, is that more difficult to even accomplish that? I mean, don't you have to kind of go back to the drawing board as to how you're going to put something together?
Well, it was. Again, I had quite a bit of it already together before it hit and shut down so hard. But I will tell you, Steve, we've been pretty fortunate in Tennessee, especially in the area where I live. And the guy who, Chris Latham, who does all my engineering and his studio I use most of the time, lives up in Ashton City. He's out in the middle of nowhere. So we were able to, just because we're so close friends, and we just were able to get it done quicker probably than most people would have gotten done, just because we had a little bit more freedom here to move around and get some stuff, hang out with people that we trusted. I mean, obviously you can get that thing from anybody, and a lot of people are getting it from their best friends and loved ones. But I just took a chance. He said he wasn't scared, and I said, well, I'm not scared either, so let's just see if we can get it done. So
okay.
We were very, very fortunate to be able to work like that.
On the album, I Miss in Mississippi, I talked about a little bit about some of the sad songs that I'm going to mention here. This is just a more... But it's a happier song because the guy's going back home, or the person singing is going back home to see his miss, that he misses his miss in Mississippi, which is a bit of a tongue twister, but it's a happy song. You're returning, the person is returning home.
Yeah, it sure is. It's one of the more upbeat things.
It is. My arrow on that goes up. That's how I tell what the tempos are.
Well, thank you. I actually wrote that with one of my dearest friends in the world, Aaron Wilburn. Aaron has been a Christian comedian for years, a very, very famous Christian comedian and songwriter. I don't know if people, your listeners might know who Bill Gaither is, but
sure.
Aaron has been on just, well, dozens, if not hundreds, of Bill Gaither videos. And unfortunately, back in November, right around Thanksgiving, Aaron passed away from COVID. And the song "I Miss My Mississippi," which was actually the second single off this album, was actually on the charts the day he passed away. And I was, of course, with Paul Bear a few days later. But that song will always mean a lot to me. That was Aaron's idea. I'll never forget. He called me one day and he said, "I'm coming over." So he came over here and we sat in the kitchen. He said, "I've got an idea. I don't even know what to do with it. I just think it's a great title." And we sat at the kitchen table here at our house and wrote that thing. And I knew when I finished it, I wanted to record it.
It's got to be fun to sing once you get all the letters in the right places.
Oh, that's right.
Once you get to "I Miss My Miss in Mississippi," that you can trip over that, but it's got to be fun to sing once you get that pattern down.
Yeah, I love to perform that song.
I want to lead up to you introducing "You Can't Hear a Heartbreak," which I played often on Unreal Bluegrass the last several weeks. But I was talking about some of the very heart touching songs, "Dying to Hold Her Again." I have another note here for "A Memory Like Mine." There are lots of them, and then leading right up to "You Can't Hear a Heartbreak," and then we're going to talk a little bit about "How I Want to Be Remembered." But those are very, very those are sad. Those are sad songs. I mean, those aren't just kind of cheerful.
Yeah, there are some sad things on here. The "Dying to Hold Her Again" is extremely sad. That's a story song. I love to write story songs. That's really what I try to set out to do every time. But that song was actually recorded, I can't remember how many years ago, but it's been a long time ago. That was actually recorded by, Alicia Nugent recorded it on one of her records, like 15 years ago. And
she was a guest on here recently with a new record. I'm so glad she's back on the album.
Yeah, she's got a brand new record, and, well, I'm pulling, showing my ear. I can't remember who the other guy, real famous guy on bluegrass, recorded it, but I can't think of his name right now. But it's one of those that I play in my shows, and that was another one of those that said, people would say, "When did you, why don't you record that? Do you have anything, do you have anything we can buy?" So I thought, well, maybe I should start recording some of these songs that people want to buy at the shows. And so that's my version of "Dying to Hold It Again."
And then "A Memory Like Mine," again, I draw a picture of a heart with a cross through it, just the way it struck me. And then I want to talk about that, then lead up to, I want you to introduce in a minute, "You Can't Hear a Heartbreak." Because that song is exactly, you're someone, in the song, there's someone, I think it's mostly a woman that's being referred to that the writer or the singer can't really, you can clearly tell what's going on, that and that you can't hear a heartbreak, but you can see it. But talk a little bit about "A Memory Like Mine," that I want you to do a quick intro into "You Can't Hear a Heartbreak."
Sure. "A Memory Like Mine" was an idea that my buddy Jim McBride brought to me. Jim was one of my mentors when I came to Nashville. He's actually in the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame now. He wrote a little song he wrote a lot of songs with Alan Jackson when Alan started out. They wrote a little song called "Chattahoochee" that made a little bit of money. And "Chasing That Neon Rainbow." And Jim has just written a ton of great songs. I encourage your listeners to check him out if they're into songwriting. But Jim brought me this idea, and, I wrote 90% of melody on the song. And I just felt like I was trying to marry a melody with the lyric, because it was such a sad lyric. Oh. And that's another song we wrote probably 15 years ago that had never been recorded. And I thought, well, I don't know if anybody in country music will ever record something like that. So, and it's a little bit of a stretch for bluegrass because of the different chords that are in it, but I love the chord progression in it. And I've had several people tell me how much they like that song from the album.
It's beautiful. "A Memory Like Mine," and then I want you to hit some of the musicians that have joined you on this, and then I want you to introduce "You Can't Hear a Heartbreak."
Sure. Well, one of my close buddies here in town is a guy named Jason Roller. Jason has a studio at his home. He's one of the greatest guitar players and fiddle players in any genre of music. He's performed for years. He traveled with Wynonna and Joe Diffie, but he was raised in bluegrass. He grew up through the bluegrass circles playing festivals and just kind of a prodigy on the fiddle when he was growing up. Justin Moses, who is one of my favorite people in bluegrass music, played all of the dobro.
He's a band. You get him, you got him, you got a band.
Yeah, buddy, he literally could have played everything.
He does everything.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is absolutely the truth. But he played dobro and mandolin. Mike Bubb, we call him Bubby. Mike mm-hmm. Bubb played the bass on this record, which he's played bass on almost all of my records here the last 10 years or so. And I had a couple of different banjo players on this album. Aaron McGarris, mm-hmm. who plays for Rhonda.
Sure.
And then Greg Davis, his nickname's Papo, we call him. He travels with Donna Ulysses' band.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure.
But he also, he's a great chromatic player. And for those who might not know what that is, the particular style on the banjo, that Bella Fleck kind of, personally, is the first time I ever heard of chromatic playing, mm-hmm. was Bella Fleck. But Greg is really great at that. He and Scott Vestal were two of my favorite players. And so that pretty much wrapped up the band. A lot of different folks put some in the harmonies.
Well, yeah, and we mentioned Rhonda joining on the waltz through
right.
the ages, and there's a lot of people that join in. So it's just a real solid recording all the way through.
Through the Ages song. Is one of my wife's favorite. As a matter of fact, we had it. That was what we danced to at our wedding. The first dance that we danced to after we got married was Waltz Through the Ages.
That's a great story. That's a great story. A memory like mine we mentioned a little bit. I want you to speak. I think you and I talked, and maybe wasn't on the air, that there's going to be a new single. I take the back roads mm-hmm. off of this album, which is Bridges and Back Roads. Talk about that a little bit, then I want you to come back and introduce the last song that we're going to actually share with the audience.
Sure. I wrote this song several years ago. It's probably 12 or 15 years old. But my good buddy Brandon Rickman. Brandon and I have been buddies, for 25 years, or 20 years anyway. And of course, Brandon is the lead singer.
Lonesome River. Absolutely.
A great songwriter in his own right, you know. But we wrote this kind of as a country song, like I said, several years ago, and it had never been recorded. And I just decided it was time to do a bluegrass version of it. And I am going to release that as a single after this. The current single's out now. But I'm going to shoot a video hopefully in May or June, up in my hometown of Chillicothe, Ohio. Go up there and get some footage of the actual back roads where I grew up, because a lot of these places are real places that I talk about in the song. And once it gets green up there, the trees start coming out and the grass starts growing, we're going to shoot a video. And so I want to hold off on that one as far as singling until it gets a little bit warmer, and that can be my summertime single.
I told you off the air and for the audience listening, this one I keep coming back to. The whole album is just really, really great songs of all types. But this is what I do when I go home. I drive the backways. And it's funny, when you wrote that song, that's what I do. And now the backways may have been the ways that I walked as a kid or places that we rode bikes as a kid, but it's not the most direct path now with the pavement and the roads. But the back roads are the roads that I remember.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I grew up in the country, so I knew about every back road in the
town. Yeah. I can't wait till you get that video done. That'll be nice. That'll be a nice thing to see. It's a great song. I can't wait till you release it. We'll say May, somewhere around May, when you get the video put together, depending on how green it gets when. Right now, I think we're kind of coming out of winter, so things are growing.
It's beautiful here. Aaron and I live in Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Yeah, sure.
It's beautiful here.
It's been pretty here the last couple of days. I want you then to give us an introduction to the song How I Want to Be Remembered. I could tell stories about these songs that connect with me. I want you to talk about why they connect with you, and then the audience can understand why you put them on.
Sure. Well, How I Want to Be Remembered, I wrote with my good buddy Larry Cordell. And, again, this is an old song we never could get recorded in country, and I thought I knew I could grass it up and make it work. And the chorus of the song is what gets me. I mean, it's kind of a story. but it talks about, you know, some people live to be famous, and, you know, they want a monument built to them and all these kind of things. But it says, in the course, it says, the way I want to be remembered is, I'm going to have to sing it, I guess. How did it start out, baby? I can't remember. How I want to be remembered? I'm sorry, my wife's going to have to help me.
That's okay.
I can't remember how it starts, but when we play it in a little bit, you'll know, when you hear the chorus, you'll know exactly why I chose this song.
Well, let's do that now, then I want to come back and have you introduce, you talked a little bit about that song, but you can't hear a heartbreak, and I kind of skipped over that a little bit, but so let's play now for the audience, How I Want to Be Remembered. This is from my guest today, Jerry Sally, from his brand new Bridges and Back Roads, and we'll come back, and then I want you to do the introduction to the other song, too. So let's hold on. I'll be right back and talk to Jerry Sally. Oh, well, there you go. That was the song we were discussing, How I Want to Be Remembered. I like the song a lot. This is great. It's great that you have the ability to go back. Of course, you're a great songwriter. And I ask people to check Jerry out. Jerry Sally, you'll see that his awards for songwriting just go on and on and on for all types of music. But when you have this catalog, you can go back and revisit. And like you say, make it a bluegrass or as bluegrass as you choose to make it. Yeah. All these songs are just right in that vein. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's just fun to hear your music. And you throw in, like I said, we talked earlier about Hillbilly Lil, you throw in a little bit of fun. There's a little bit of fun with I Miss My Miss in Mississippi, just because of the way the lyric goes. So you're always covering, you get serious and then you get a little bit lighter. And I really think that's what you have to do. And maybe that's your plan. I don't know.
Well, when you make an album, an album's like a journey to me. And sometimes, you know, you don't want to go 90 miles an hour on the entire journey. You've got to slow down a little bit, take a little turn here and there. And that's kind of what I try to do with these albums.
I mean, I like your arrangement. Let me ask you this, since we're on that. Do you line them up, or are you the one that puts them in sequence?
Yes, okay. I absolutely do.
Okay.
I do that on the records I produce as well.
Do you? Okay, good. It's always an interesting process to me, you must go into a lot of thoughts as you're a producer and songwriter as to the order and how things, one complements another, or you don't want to get right into that one pocket and stay there too long.
That's right. Tempo has a lot to do with it. The keys that the songs are in, you don't want to have two or three songs in a row in the same key, that sort of thing.
But I'll
play with it, man. I'll have five or six different sequences and listen to them all and live with them, for a little while until I finally determine which one I think is the best and hits me the best.
You mentioned that two or three in a key of the same key, three or four of the same. After a while, you kind of get a little fatigue, a little bit of aural fatigue, I would say. They don't strike you as well, so you do a good job at separating those now. You're welcome. You talked about this earlier, the song You Can't Hear a Heartbreak, and we talked about some of the lyrics a little bit, and I want you to give an intro to that, and then I'm going to let you alone, because I know you're a busy guy.
Well, I appreciate you, Steve. I wrote this with a longtime buddy of mine, too, in Nashville, Ernie Rowell. Ernie played and was a band leader, actually, for Mel Tillis for a long time, and George Jones, traveled for years with George. And just a great songwriter. He's had hits with people like Gene Watson. He's one of my all-time favorite country singers. And he's had just a lot of different songs recorded by Kenny Rogers and people like that in the country music business. But he called me one day. This is one of the newer songs on the record, which probably 3 years old, I guess. And he called me and he said, man, he said, I got an idea, a title for a song. He said, I'm not exactly sure what to do with it, but he said, I really think we could do something with it. And you came to mind when I thought of the idea. I thought, I bet Jerry Sally might be able to help me get that done. So anyway, he called me, and when he told me the title, I knew exactly what we were going to have to do. And I said, yeah, man, let's get together next week. So we sat down, and it's about observation of the singer's, just he's in this club, and he's observing this girl, and you can't physically hear a heartbreak, but in this particular song, you could hear it in the way, the songs that she, you could hear it in the songs that she asked the band to play, and in the way she, when somebody speaks his name, how she reacts, her ex's name, how she reacts, and I thought, wow, I love clever songs. There's a real fine line between clever and cleaver when it comes to songwriting, so you got to be careful sometimes. But I just knew that we could make something good out of it, and it took us two or three times to get together, but we finally got it right.
It's a good one. Tells a great story. Jerry, I'm always happy to chat with you. I haven't seen you in forever because nobody has seen anyone in forever, so we'll fix that up soon. Hopefully we'll all get around the country, but I've been talking to – yeah, well, you're welcome. I've been talking to Jerry Sally, and the record label, Billy Blue, is just going phenomenal. Quality artists, and I know that you're always working to expand that. And the new album, Bridges and Backroads, on that label is available. Where would people find it, by the way?
Well, the best way they can get this particular record is through my website, through jerrysally.com.
Okay.
And it's also available on iTunes if they'd like to download it. The whole album is up on iTunes.
Okay.
And they can find it just about anywhere on the Internet where you can buy great music. That would be the easiest way to get it. This particular record is on Buried Jerry Records instead of Billy Blue.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, thank you for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And we can have that discussion sometime. I can explain all that.
Sure.
But I just really appreciate your time. I would like to say real quick, Steve, that my daughter, Maggie, who is my youngest daughter, incredible guitar player and singer, and she's been writing a lot of songs herself. She is a great singer and has sung on a lot of my records over the years.
Oh, great. Okay.
Did a lot of the harmony singing. And Maggie's doing the high harmony on this particular song.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Thank you.
She is on four or five of these songs.
I kept hearing that. Well, I asked you off the air, but I kept thinking it'd be somebody else, but that's beautiful. Beautiful singing.
Yeah. Thank you. She did a great. She just blends, you know, it's kind of that family harmony.
It is. It's a perfect fold into. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as a matter of fact, I want you to remember a record I produced a couple of years ago that was actually nominated for a Grammy called Gonna Sing, Gonna Shout.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
It was a collection of songs from my buddy Rick Lang.
Yeah.
Maggie sang harmony on several songs on that album as well.
Okay. Well, good. Thanks for bringing that up. And, Jerry, I'm going to let you go about your business. You know, this has been a great month for me because 2 weeks ago, Larry Cordell did this very same thing with me. And I put you and Larry and Carl Jackson, those are to me are just the three points of the triangle as far as the business of songwriting and singing and performing and just quality. And I'm glad Larry's feeling well, and I know he's looking forward to getting back out again. So
let's sir, we appreciate you, Steve. We couldn't do what we do without folks like you. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Anytime. Listen, we're going to leave. I'll say goodbye to you, and I'll play this time we'll play You Can't Hear a Heartbreak. We just talked about it, and I forgot already. We'll do that, and then I'll let you go, Jerry. Thanks so much for your time, man.
Thank you, Steve. God bless you, buddy.
See you, man. Bye. Bye-bye. Jerry's just one of the best at all phases of music, production, writing, singing, everything you could ask to do. He's just a good guy. Always happy to talk to Jerry. You're listening to Unreal Bluegrass Radio. Thanks so much, Jerry.